Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. Well, here it is, the middle of February, a two-week period that will always mean three things to me. Valentine's Day, of course, the Westminster Dog Show, and the New York International Toy Fair. Valentine's Day speaks for itself. I like the day a lot. I like what it does for people. I like how my dad handled it, and I like how Mary and I handled it. But enough has been written about that day already. Everyone has a take on it, yes? The dog show is worthy of an essay, and someday I'll do one. It's a great show. Until I do, I will just keep rewatching that marvelous mockumentary, Best in Show, made by the folks who brought us Spinal Tap and Waiting for Guffman and assorted other gems of that genre. Today I'll pay attention to the toy fair, if you don't mind. In my day, the International Toy Fair in February in New York was the biggest that the industry put on. Bigger than the Hamburg Fair in Germany, the London Fair, or the Tokyo Fair. I know why it took place in New York. That city was the birthplace of the American toy industry and headquarters to a lot of the major players. But why they scheduled it for February, I will never know. Now picture, if you will, a middle-aged toy executive in his Savile Row suit and floor shimes slogging through 4 inches of melting snow on his way to a day of meetings only to be soaked by a passing taxi, a taxi that had another toy maven in the back seat. As it rounded the corner and sprayed everyone within 10 feet, with that awful mixture of slush, grime, and unidentifiable bits of curbside stuff. I learned early on to wear a charcoal gray top coat. Stylishly cut, to be sure, but charcoal gray. The only color that can reasonably stand up to taxicab curb spray in February. In those days, the convention was held in the toy building. Actually, a two-building affair of 16 stories in southern Manhattan, close to where Fifth Avenue and Broadway intersect. It was an old beauty, with an ornate facade and brass-trimmed elevators, which rattled and shook on their way up. I remember once getting stuck between the 14th and 15th floors. The car was jammed with people, packed almost to overcrowding. And as we chunked to a sudden stop and then dropped a few feet with a bang, most of us knew that we'd be together for a while. Sure enough, one of us began to panic, increasing her volume by the second, visibly affecting some of the other passengers. It is the only time in my life I have told a perfect stranger to shut up, breathe, it's going to be okay. Well, it took about 20 minutes, but help arrived in the form of two burly maintenance men, God bless them, who pulled up next to us in another car. They opened the rescue panel in their car, and then the one in ours, and then each of the passengers was invited to step across that gap over a 150-foot drop from our car to theirs and over to safety. If you should ever get stuck in an elevator, many stories above the lobby, take my advice. Shut up, breathe, and don't look down as you're being rescued. The buildings were filled from basement to attic with showrooms, display areas where manufacturers introduced their toys and games to retailers and the public alike. Some of them were the polished rooms of manicured success, but most of them were smallish affairs, housing a cigar-chewing guy sitting at a table with an order pad and half a pastrami sandwich in front of him. I loved the process of creating toys and games with talented people. I did not love the notion that a lot of what we invented would go from under a Christmas tree and into a landfill inside of a year. That wonderful old toy building was chock full of next year's refuse. I wonder how many of those old guys with chewed down cigars ever saw it that way.